Lots happened in the last 2 weeks, and let's get right to it. So what's going on with COVID nationally? You would have to be living in a cave, I guess, to not know that our cases are going up across the country, particularly across the more deep south, Florida through Louisiana, and then up through Arkansas and Missouri, and then a few places out west. Their case rates are really impressive, negatively impressive, I guess. And their hospitals are feeling the burden of admissions from unvaccinated people. The situation up here in North Carolina is a little bit better than that. Statewide, our case rates running right around 10 per day per 100,000. Which is still fairly comfortable. But there are parts of North Carolina that that are having more problems. If you draw a line between Wilmington and Rockingham, in other words, the road to the beach, those counties are having higher case rates, some of them in the high 30s per day per 100,000. And just like the rest of the country, you can take our vaccination percentage map here in North Carolina and our case rate map and put them on top of each other, and they overlie. And so those counties that are having the most problems are those counties in North Carolina that have the lowest vaccination percentages. So it's no different here than in other areas. Up here in Forsyth County, our case rate still remains below 5, at least as of yesterday, per 100,000 per day, and our testing percentage still is in a comfortable range. But our cases are going up here too. And in the counties around us, they're going up a little bit faster than they're going up here. And I will say that our local hospitals here in the Triad, including Wake Forest Baptist Health and also Novant, they're are having increased numbers of hospitalizations. In fact, I think our hospitalization numbers have increased about 200% in the last 2 weeks. Numbers are still overall low, so when you hear a high percentage, it's like, you know, if it goes from 1 to 2, that's 100% increase, right? So you have to kind of look at the whole spectrum, but the hospitalizations are all in unvaccinated people. And in fact, since the beginning of vaccination for the pandemic, we have had zero vaccinated people admitted to our ICUs. And so that attests these are good vaccines. They keep you out of trouble. I wanted to talk a little bit about the general mood right now. Not only of here in the area, but of the country. I think people are seeing these cases going up, and there's a big mixture of emotions. And I know a lot of it is just disappointment, because people, even though people like me have been saying, hey, you know, COVID's not over. It's getting better, but it's not over. Thought it was over, and then when they found out it isn't, it's kind of like having your parents take your Disney World trip away from you. It's causing a little bit of problems with anger, lashing out, and really inappropriate thought processes on all sides. And when anyone's under a lot of stress, that's what happens. Think about your own family. That's what happens. So I think we all need to take a big deep breath and relax a little bit, okay? Because the worst of COVID is still behind us. The worst is behind us. So the cases, yes, the cases are going to go up, but it's going to be a different fall in general. And it's not going to be quite as horrible, and I'll tell you why in a minute. We got through this together to get to the point where we are now. Think about it. We all locked down together. For a lot of us, we all wore masks together. We all avoided certain situations of high crowding, congregate situations together. And that really got us to where we are now. And I think we need to come together again a little bit and do what needs to be done to finish this out. I mean, we're like 3/4 of the way through the basketball game. We're winning. Let's just finish it and get it done. So here's what I think the fall's going to be like. There's going to be a little bit of two pandemics, and this has been out on the national media, and it's really true. One is the pandemic of the unvaccinated, which is largely going to look like it was last year as we went through the fall. It won't be any different for that group of people. And then there'll be COVID for the people who've been vaccinated. And how is it different? For the unvaccinated people, the Delta variant is more transmissible. You're more likely to get it this fall than you were last fall. This is for the unvaccinated people. We are also not doing the same things that we did last fall. We're not wearing masks largely. Everything is open, economy's going, that's all good. We're in the fitness centers, we're back at restaurants. And in that settings, there's gonna be transmission. And the unvaccinated people, it's not gonna be any different. The hospitalization rates won't be any different than they were last fall. Deaths won't be any different than they were last fall. Serious infections won't be any different than last fall. For the vaccinated people, this fall is going to be more of an annoyance with COVID. Because yes, breakthrough infections occur in vaccinated people, but a breakthrough infection in a vaccinated person, for 99.5% of people, it's a cold. It's not really a big problem. Yeah, it'll still be an annoyance because if you get tested, you're tested positive. You'll still have to quarantine and isolate, and you won't be able to go to work for 10 days, can't go to school for 10 days. But that's just an annoyance. You don't have to worry. Remember the fear we all had? You don't have to have that when you're vaccinated. Fortunately, breakthrough infections are still unusual. They happen. I've seen some, fortunately, they're much less likely to transmit to other people when it does occur. Getting a breakthrough infection is more likely if there are unvaccinated people in your household. So let's say that your husband decided not to get vaccinated. They pick up COVID in the workplace and they come home, but you, the spouse, the wife, is vaccinated. It's more likely you'll get a breakthrough infection in that situation because household transmission is really the higher risk areas. For kids under 12 can't be vaccinated, so if they get it somewhere else and they bring it home, daycare, for instance, and they bring it home, you're more likely to get a breakthrough infection that way. So the best way to prevent breakthrough infections is to surround yourself with vaccinated people. So if your husband's not vaccinated, talk to him. As soon as we can get it into our under 12 kids, let's do it. Now for the 12 and over, we can vaccinate. Let's get them vaccinated. Surround yourself with vaccinated people. You're less likely to have a breakthrough. You know, a lot of people are blaming Delta variant for what's going on right now and the cases going up. And yes, here in the Triad area, probably somewhere between 50 to 60% of COVID that we're seeing now is the Delta variant. It's over half. We predicted that, said it was going to happen way back in May. It's not all just that, though. The Delta variant's taking advantage of our behavior right now, which is largely pre-COVID behavior. And all those precautions we're doing that worked so well over the last year have largely been abandoned. Delta variant's taking advantage of that. So let's talk a little bit about some of those things that we were doing to prevent COVID before. And I'll preface it by saying that I don't think lockdowns make any sense anymore. And I don't, so I don't think we need to be closing things. I don't think we need to be switching church services to all virtual. I don't think we need to be limiting stores opening, closing restaurants, closing bars. I think we just leave everything as an open economy. But the one thing that we've learned that does make a difference is a mask. And it's okay to wear a mask. Just because some of the people around you are not, doesn't mean you don't have to. And if you're going into certain situation where the risk might be higher, that's the time you may still want to put a mask on, even if you're vaccinated. So if you're going to a fitness center and you really want that weightlifting, you might want to wear a mask, because fitness centers are higher risk areas. You're going to a church service and you're not sure about the vaccination status amongst everyone around you, you don't want to get COVID, even though you're vaccinated, you can wear a mask, it's fine. It will protect you and help protect you. It's another layer of that Swiss cheese of protection. There are certain venues where maybe everyone should need to wear a mask. And we've talked about this in schools. And in fact, Governor Cooper talked about this in schools yesterday. In fact, the state recommendation is that local school authorities now can make their calls on masks or unmasks, but that the recommendation from the state is that anyone through K through 8 should be masked. And that's largely because our under 12 kids have not been vaccinated, and we need to make sure we protect them. And that our vaccination rates largely in that age group are frankly not very good, maybe 30%, and that's not good. Now, there are some schools that have actually much higher rates of vaccine penetrance. In fact, I know of some schools that have 80% or more of their students vaccinated. Those schools might be able to approach it a little bit different as far as masking goes, for at least the over 12 people, for the upper grades. If you got 85% of people, then you're surrounded by vaccinated people. It's a lot of layers of Swiss cheese to block vaccine transmission in that setting. So if you're a school and you have high vaccine penetrance, maybe you could start the school year masked and then relax it off as time goes on and things are going well. So I support what the governor said, particularly in those schools that have vaccine proportions or percentages less than 85%. And you know what? The kids are fine with it, actually. It's the adults that seem to have more problems, particularly the younger kids. They seem to be fine with it. The other thing that was announced by Governor Cooper that I also agree with is modifications of quarantine if two people are masked and there's an exposure. And that they've modified it so that you don't have to quarantine the numbers of people that we did before when that happens. So a mask, and a positive test, you can still let that person come to school who was exposed. The positive test stays home, but the person who is. And then you can do some testing of that person, particularly if they're unvaccinated. Regarding testing now, this fall is going to be a little bit different because so many people are unmasking. Cold and flu season's going to come back. Last year we had a fantastic cold and flu season. We had zero cases of flu that I know of, that were test positive in our health system. This year it's going to be back, and anyone who gets cold is going to have it sorted out, whether it's a cold, is it cold, is it flu, is it COVID? And you need to do that test because we do different isolation and quarantine for COVID than we do for the other respiratory viruses. So there's going to be a lot more people going to doctors with colds so they can get their test. In fact, most schools are going to require it, that if a child gets a cold, that they have to be tested to come back in. In the past, if a child got a cold, we didn't test them. They stayed home for a day or two, and then they could go back to school. So those ambulatory medical centers and those doctors who do outpatient care might want to start thinking and getting ready for that. There's going to be a lot of demand for testing. I call this cold sorting. Is it get a cold? You got to sort it, just like you sort laundry. Is it the cold? Is it the flu? Is it COVID? And that is going to be also for vaccinated people, because breakthroughs can happen, and you need to know in that situation as well. So that's what I'm saying. This fall, COVID's going to be a lot of an and more of an annoyance than it is going to be a something scary, except for the unvaccinated people. Let's talk a little bit about the Olympics. Olympics starting out this weekend, right? It's going to be a little different. we've already had some athletes test positive with the Olympics, and they're dealing with that through their plans. We've been able to have athletics despite COVID now for some time, so I think the Olympics will be fine. I don't think there's going to be any large problems with it. It may be a disappointment for a particular athlete or team if COVID happens, but the Olympics themselves will be okay. One thing that came out during the last 2 weeks that was kind of a sleeper, it didn't really come out in the media that much, but the Infectious Diseases Society of America and the Society of Hospital Epidemiologists of America, APIC, which is the Association of Infection Control Prevention People, and three or four other societies all got together, and they put out guidance. And that guidance says that acute care hospital settings and medical settings should mandate vaccine for their workers. This is not without a bit of controversy, and enough people have seen it in the media. But I want to lend my support to that, too. I think it's important. It's important for the following reasons. One is that it's the easiest way to increase patient safety for COVID transmission in hospitals. We did great during the last year, but we really had to take a lot of special care. And this would just add one more layer of safety on top of all those other special things that we do to prevent transmission in hospitals. So I think it'll give patients a lot more reassurance that if their providers and their people in their hospital are vaccinated. The other thing is it prevents transmission between workers. So if you got a busy season, it's January, it's cold and flu season, COVID's still going around, you don't have as many people who are out of work, so it's easier for the hospital to get what they need to do done and take care of their community. And that's important. And lastly, and perhaps most importantly, it protects you, the healthcare worker. So be shellfish. And so I agree with mandates. And I think as time goes on, you're going to see more announcements about that across the country. As more health systems, there's already been quite a few, and quite a few big health systems throughout the country who have done so. And I support that. Lastly, I just want to reinforce the five reasons why vaccination is a good idea, besides the fact that they work and that they're safe. People have said, well, what about those blood clots? What about the Guillain-Barré? What about the myocarditis? Okay, so we're talking about rates of those things somewhere between 1 and 60 per million shots given, which comes down to decimals of percentages. And people actually recover from most of those. They don't result in death. So that's very, very rare. If you get COVID right now with the Delta variant, You have about a 1 in 10 chance of getting hospitalized, particularly if you're over the age of 30 or a little overweight or have an underlying condition. And you have about a 1 in 50 chance of dying across all spectrums. So vaccine, you're looking at 1 in 50 million of a serious adverse effect, or 1 in a million for 50 per million. And here you're looking at 1 per 50. So I've always talked about, one, the reasons to get vaccinated. One, to protect yourself. Two, to protect the loved ones around you, to form a cocoon. Three is to have a normal experience and be able to go out and about and do things without the worry or the problems. Four is to protect your community and be a good citizen. And five, particularly if you're a student, is that if you get exposed, you don't have to quarantine and spend 10 days at home with your parents doing virtual learning. So those are all good reasons. But I'm going to emphasize reason number one. Let's be selfish. Protect yourself. And I'm not a politician. This is not a politician to say, go protect yourself. This is Dr. Oll saying, hey, it's a good idea. I'm a doctor, and it's a good idea for you to get vaccinated, to protect yourself. And it is okay to be selfish and protect yourself. It doesn't matter, political persuasion, religious persuasion, doesn't matter where you came from, where you grew up, just be selfish. Dr. Oll says it's the right thing to do. So, any questions? That's all I have prepared remarks. Yeah?
I've got a couple of them. First of all, can you talk a little bit about the air quality? It's not good out here, especially Raleigh and Charlotte, that kind of thing, because of the fires, I guess, and the jet stream bringing over. Is that kind of thing, will that have any effect on people that had COVID and maybe?
Yeah, so the question is air quality. I mean, I'm just looking out the windows out here. It's kind of hazy. Some of that's from the fires all out west. Yeah, will that affect people who've had COVID? So if you had COVID and you have lung damage after COVID, so some respiratory tract infections after you have them, you have some, you know, scarring and damage afterwards. So if you have that so that you get something like an asthma or a chronic obstructive pulmonary disease after having COVID, then the air quality, yes, makes a difference, can affect it. But if you didn't have that, if you just had run-of-the-mill COVID and didn't have really any lung problems afterwards, it's not a problem. And so, and those people who have had lung issues following having COVID, they know who they are. So if you had COVID back in January and you recovered in a week and you're out jogging and doing everything normal now, the air quality won't really be a problem. Good question.
Also, you had mentioned that, and we know that people under 12 can't get the vaccine. Do you see a time?
When will the under 12, yes, when will the under 12 get the vaccine? There's a lot of us parents who are really anxious about that. Initially we were saying probably sometime around Halloween. Lately, in this week actually, I've seen more information that it might be Thanksgiving, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So it's not too far off. Hard to 90 degrees outside today. Christmas is coming still. So yes, there will be a time when our kids will get a vaccine. Boy, will that make a big difference for the schools. I mean, then after that, schools can be normal. So something to look forward to.
Thank you. Yep.
And you said this fall there's probably going to be some sort of interior pandemic for the unvaccinated. How bad would that be for them?
Just as bad as it was last fall. Just as bad as it was before. I mean, the numbers will be lower, right? But for those people. Now, there's a few caveats. Here in North Carolina, about 80% of our over 65 are vaccinated. So that was a really high-risk group for having bad complications and death. Almost all of our nursing home patients have been vaccinated. So we've kind of removed them from the pot of unvaccinated people. So most of the unvaccinated people now are younger, but there's a fair number of people in that younger group of unvaccinated people who are at higher risk of COVID. And one that people that I don't think realize is being overweight. So if you have a BMI over 30, it increases your risk of getting hospitalization about tenfold. I'll be quite frank. I've seen patients in their early 30s. Like, we've had a couple in their 20s in our ICUs. So even though you're young and you think you're immortal, most 20-year-olds think they're immortal, get vaccinated. You'll have a lot better fall.
So we had a question about why Pfizer or Moderna is not being offered to people that have the J&J vaccine.
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm glad you brought this up because I wanted to talk about that. Let's talk a little bit about the three different vaccines right now and how well they work against Delta variant. As far as preventing serious disease, keeping people out of the hospital, keeping people from dying. They work really, really well. All of them, including J&J, do that. So there's been, with J&J vaccine, there's been some, we're starting to get some data, and frankly, it's a little bit contradictory. Some of it looks good as far as antibody responses still 9 months out. There was just one study 2 days ago that didn't look quite as good. But so far, with the Delta variant, and we've had a fair amount of experience with it, it seems Johnson & Johnson seems to be hanging in there as far as what we see in the real world. And that's one of the reasons why the recommendations from the ACIP and the CDC and the NIH yet have been, let's hang on, let's gather more data, and let's not be boosting willy-nilly. So what they want to do is get the data, and then if a booster's needed, do it in a way that's supported by studies and science is the best way to do it. Because think about it. If you want a boost after having, for instance, just J&J, what's the best vaccine afterwards to do it? Should you get a second J&J? Should you get a messenger RNA vaccine? I mean, we don't have any real-world experience with that yet, actually. When would you do it? 12 weeks later, 24 weeks later, a year later? Because, if you like with the shingles vaccine, we know you wait 6 months, right? Or with hepatitis B. So we have all that worked out. So we have to work all that stuff out yet. Now, the one caveat and difference might be for immunocompromised people, particularly people who have solid organ transplants or blood type cancers, not solid cancers, but blood type cancers. I think we might be seeing a recommendation for them to get a third shot as part of their primary series. So we in the room for the messenger RNAs, we all got two shots. They'll probably get a third. So that's coming down the pike, I think.
And that goes into another question that we asked. They mentioned that Pfizer would be asking for FDA approval for a third dose for the immunocompromised. How soon do you think that would be happening?
I think that for the immunocompromised people, for the recommendation to get a third dose, it won't be that far off. It wouldn't surprise me if it's not by the end of the summer. What we're trying to do with that right now in studies is figure out the timing. And so there's been studies that have been ongoing, including here at Wake Forest Baptist Health, looking at giving a third dose to certain highly immunocompromised people and then trying to find out what the best timing is for that. So I think once that's sorted out, the ACIP will have a recommendation for it. I'm guessing it'll be like somewhere between 4 to 8 weeks after dose number two. And if you are in a situation where you're further out than that, then you just get it now. That's what I'm guessing. We'll let the real smart people down at the CDC say. So, any other questions? Great. Let's see you next week. A lot going on, so we'll do another one next week.